1, begin transmission.
Heavens to Murgatroyd. Bet you haven't heard that one in a while. It is 1930 UTC, the time at which the Dubious Goals Committee always begins. So let us begin. My name is Tobe. I am the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whichever salutation pertains to you. Whichever is time zone appropriate for you. And it is technically morning still for me for another half an hour. So, what am I doing? I'm recovering. I am sitting here on the floor. And I just happened to be watching TCM, Turner Classic Movies. And what classic film is on right now? One of my favorites, probably my favorite John Barrymore film. If you guessed Arsène Lupin, then you are correct. You win. You have won the prize. I do love this film, although I did see it recently, like last month, and so I'm not really paying that much attention to it. Arsène Lupin might be the first gentleman thief movie. And that's one of my favorite film tropes, the gentleman thief. And I'm a big fan of these movies and or TV shows, such as Arsène Lupin. And Raffles, starring David Niven. And you know, there's multiple Lupin movies, and there are multiple Raffles movies. There's like 6 or 8 Raffles movies. And then, of course, I like a couple of the Pink Panther movies, also with David Niven as a gentleman thief. The Phantom slash, what's his character's name in that? I can't remember right now. What other examples do we have? Oh, of course we have the very famous Japanese manga and anime franchise, Lupin the Third. You know, the general story there, backstory to that is he's the grandson of Arsène Lupin. And the funny thing is I will be watching Lupin the Third tonight in approximately 12 and a half hours, or maybe 13 hours. So I get to watch the original, and I get to see pretty much the most recent animated adaptation. I'm pretty excited about that. Also on TV tonight is some Australian rules football, footy, as they like to call it, and as I also like to call it. So I'll be watching that. Oh, and there's some other TCM stuff on tonight that I'm going to watch. And I'm pretty excited about that. And in exactly 2 hours from now, I'm going to Abelardo's. That's right. I got an email from my dad not 7 or 8 minutes ago. Hey, you want to meet at Abelardo's for lunch? I'm like, oh, hell yes. So I will be having some delicious carne asada tacos today. Oh, they're so great. Oh, carne asada tacos at Abelardo's are probably not what you think of when you think of tacos. If you're an American, and you don't get out much. When you think of tacos, you usually are thinking of that deep-fried corn tortilla stuffed with hamburger with a little cheese on top and some lettuce. Sometimes you find little tomatoes, sometimes you find sour cream. This is and although this is good, sometimes I really got to wonder if that's a taco. If you're going to Taco Bell to buy your tacos, you need to be slapped repeatedly about the head and shoulders. You need to be bludgeoned appropriately. The carne asada tacos at Abelardo's consists of 2 6-inch corn tortillas, not deep fried, but heated up, just thrown onto the grill until they're hot. And then these are filled with diced steak, deliciously seasoned diced steak, some pico de gallo, although there's another word for it that they use south of the border. I can't remember what that word is. And this is diced onions and tomatoes, along with a little bit of cilantro. And the last ingredient, oh, so yummy, is guacamole salsa. Now, this is a different type of guacamole than we're used to in America. In America, when we think of guacamole, we're thinking of, mashed up avocados with a little lemon juice and sometimes some tomatoes and onions. But this is guacamole salsa. And this is essentially guacamole, but it is thinner. Guacamole is like a paste. But this guacamole salsa means sauce. The guacamole salsa is a little bit thinner. Oh, and these are good tacos. It is so yummy. And of course, you can throw a little bit of hot sauce on it. They have some good sauces at Abelardo's. They have a good taco sauce. I throw a little bit of that on, then I'll put on some of the hot sauce, which is pretty good. It's a little bitter for me, but I kind of like that sometimes. Oh, it's so good. And then, of course, you got to squeeze on a lime juice. Squeeze that lime juice. These tacos are best with lime. So you go over to the little salsa bar, you get some slices of lime, and you squeeze fresh lime juice onto these tacos as you eat them. Nom, nom, nom. They are so delicious. And that's what I'm going to eat in about 2 hours from now. I'm drinking tea. Oh. So I mentioned that I'm recovering. Yeah, I'm in god-awful shape today. Yesterday I got too much sun. That's basically the problem here. My nose and my forehead are actually a little bit sunburned. Ugh, it is unpleasant. But that's not the biggest problem I have with the sun. I actually don't care about sunburn. I do not care. But this is sort of hard to explain. What was I doing yesterday? Well, I had to go to Des Moines, Iowa to watch a softball game. My phone is ringing. Is that something I need to answer? I don't think so. I have a cousin. His name is Jeremy, and he has a daughter named Hadley, and Hadley plays softball on a competitive team, and they are from Colorado. But this team is a competitive team. They travel around and they play a lot of tournaments and stuff, and there was a tournament in Des Moines. And so my cousin's mom, Susan, is my dad's sister. And she flew out to Omaha and we hung out for a couple of days. And then my family, including my aunt, my dad's sister, we drove over to Des Moines yesterday to see my cousin's kid play softball. Des Moines. Des Moines is a city in Iowa. In fact, it is the capital of Iowa, and it pretty much sits right in the middle of the state. And it doesn't take very long to get there. If you drive like my parents, you know, it takes about 2.5 hours to get there. And that sounds so bad. I am not disrespecting my parents. But I tend to drive a little bit faster than my parents. So I can usually get to Des Moines in about 2 hours. And they upped the speed limit in some places, too. I'm the kind of person who basically believes in always driving 5 miles an hour over the speed limit on the interstate. And that's not uncommon between here and Des Moines. Or between here and Lincoln. Oh, forget it. Between here and Lincoln, you better be driving about 80 miles an hour. I have heard from some people who have driven through the Omaha metropolitan area that the driving is a little bit crazy. And I have to admit, it is a little bit crazy, but it's different. It's not like driving in LA where you go, oh my God, the traffic's crazy because you're on the interstate. It's 5 lanes wide and it's bumper to bumper and you're only going, you know, 10 miles an hour. In Omaha, the driving is considerably different. And you need to be going fast. Yes, the speed limit is marked as 55 or 60 miles an hour. You better be doing 70. Oh, I can't remember who. Oh, I think it was Handy C. SDF user Handy C. Drove through the Omaha Metroplex. And commented on the crazy drivers. And it's not that we drive crazily in Omaha. It's just that we do drive a little bit fast on the interstate. Yeah, we are in a big hurry to get home. We got stuff to do. But the traffic usually isn't that bad. During rush hour on the interstate, there's one area where it slows down a little bit, and that's 72nd Street. And so for about a mile on either side of 72nd Street, it can slow down and back up for a total of about half an hour or 45 minutes every day. And I hate driving during then, as everybody else does, because you want to drive 70 or 75 miles an hour. And you will see people going much faster than that. Yes, we have cops. We have the police here, but the police are more concerned with traffic flowing. And so if people are going a little bit fast, it kind of gets overlooked. As long as the traffic keeps moving, keep moving, keep moving. We got places to be. We've got, you know, football to watch. Yeah, if you want to have a nutty drive, if you want to drive somewhere crazy, drive down Interstate 80 on a Saturday during American football season, during college football season, because that's where our football team is, in Lincoln, about an hour away. And the speed limit between Omaha and Lincoln is 70 or 75 miles an hour. I can't remember what it is now, but it's fast. And you need to be moving. And people will get mad because you are impeding their progress to get to the game. So if you have grandma and grandpa in their old Lincoln Continental doing 60 miles an hour, you know, they're traveling about 20 miles an hour slower than how fast everybody else wants to go. So that gets a little nutty. But yeah, you can fly between Omaha and Lincoln. I think the last time I had to drive to Lincoln, it only took me 40 minutes. And it's like 60 miles. Lincoln. Lincoln, Nebraska. Lincoln, the city of Lincoln is the second biggest city in Nebraska. Second, of course, to Omaha. And Lincoln is the state capital. Lincoln is also home to our major university, the University of Nebraska. And that's where our football team is. And it's a fun town because it's kind of a college town. Not kind of, it very much is. And the university is a big campus. And it's a fun time. I haven't been down there in a little while. But you can find all kinds of fun things to do in Lincoln. You know, lots of concerts, lots of wackiness, lots of sports. Lots of cool stores, you know, that kind of cater to college kids. A lot of fun bars and stuff like that. And that's a good time. So speaking of the sizes of cities in Nebraska, let's discuss the third largest city in Nebraska. And this is interesting. So let's recap first. First, the most populated city in Nebraska is Omaha. Yeah, you can't miss it. It sits right on the border of Nebraska and Iowa. We have fun here. And the population is arguable because Omaha is restricted by law by the county line and some other weird things. But the population of Omaha proper is about 500,000. Once you add the metropolitan area, you're getting closer to 750,000. You know, if you include Council Bluffs and some other little towns that Omaha is engulfing in its sprawl. And then there's Lincoln, number two. The second most populous city in Nebraska is Lincoln, Nebraska, our fair capital and home of the Cornhuskers. That's right, the Cornhuskers is the name of our football team. And if you don't know what a Cornhusker is, I'm going to have to explain that later. Now, here we come to the most interesting question of all. What's the third most popular, most populous city in Nebraska? And here's where it gets weird. Here's where it gets very weird. To be honest, I don't know what the third biggest city in Nebraska is, population-wise. It might be, I can't even guess. Is it Fremont? No, Fremont County is like the fifth most populous county. It might be Scotts Bluff. It might be North Platte. These are cities on the other side of Nebraska. And I'll tell you why nobody knows. You can ask any Nebraskan this, and they're not going to be able to tell you. Or they're going to tell you what I'm about to tell you. And this is the weird part. On Saturdays during the football season, Memorial Stadium becomes the third most populous city in Nebraska. Okay, let's take some explanation. Memorial Stadium is the venue at which the Cornhuskers play. Memorial Stadium is a stadium at the University of Nebraska, and it holds, you know, they add to it every year. They keep improving it and building it up. And right now, it holds about 90,000 people. 90,000 people. So every weekend, every Saturday, every game day, that stadium is full. That stadium has been sold out for every Nebraska football game for more than 50 years. Something like since 1962. So that would be like, what, 66 years. Every single game has been sold out. You can't get tickets for Nebraska games. That's the weird part. Well, you sort of can, but there's a trick to it, and we won't go into that here. But yes, on Saturdays, during football season, Memorial Stadium becomes the third most populous city in the state of Nebraska. And it has a capacity of 90,000 people. That means the third most populous city on any other day has less than 90,000 people in it. Okay, so you go from Lincoln, it has about 250,000 people. 250,000. And then the next biggest city is less than 90,000 people. So if you actually ask a Nebraskan, and most Nebraskans know this little fact, if you ask them, what's the third most populous city in Nebraska, they will inevitably say Memorial Stadium. And that's an interesting and bizarre fact about Nebraska. And that's how popular our football team is here. They just keep expanding the stadium year after year. And it sells out. Sold out games every single time. I don't remember how many consecutive games that is. You know, that's, what, 56 years of games, and it's like 380 plus or 390 plus consecutive sold out games. That's right. They sell 90,000 tickets every week and have been doing so for the last 50 plus years. So that's an interesting little statistic. Nebraska is an interesting place. An interesting place where people don't know what the state flag is. I've mentioned this before, but Nebraska's state flag is very boring. It's just the state seal on a field of blue. There's a lot of states. There's at least a dozen states that have this theme for their flag. A field of blue with the state seal on it. Boring. Boring. Not cool. Cool state flags are like Maryland and Ohio. They got some cool ones. Alaska has a cool one, but no, not Nebraska. We have a boring one. The odd thing is you don't see it very often. Because if you're driving around in Nebraska, you'll notice this. Any place that has flags in front of it is usually flying the American flag. And then instead of flying the Nebraska state flag, they fly a different flag. What is this different flag? Well, it's basically the football flag. I don't think it really has a name, but basically it's a red field with a white N on it. The letter N. Just the letter N, white letter N on a red flag. The N stands for Nebraska. And this is the football flag. This is the flag that represents the Cornhuskers, our football team. You know, if you go to a Nebraska football game, you will see people waving this flag. Woohoo! And they're crazy about it. Well, other fans, and pretty much everybody in Nebraska is a fan of the Nebraska football team. A lot of people have these flags. They hang them on their own personal flagpoles or out their windows or on their porches. And businesses across Nebraska will fly this flag. My bank actually does. Every bank location, they fly the American flag. and they fly the football flag. My bank, along with other businesses in Nebraska, also has special dress codes for the game. If you have to work during the game, in a lot of businesses, this includes my grocery store, if you have to work during the game or on the day of a Nebraska football game, you do not have to wear your work uniform. You can wear Nebraska supporter gear. You can wear a sweatshirt or a t-shirt or something that says Nebraska or Cornhuskers. You can wear any Nebraska stuff. This is true for many businesses, and these same businesses will often put the game on the radio, or if they have like a PA system, they'll be playing the game over the PA system. This is true in my bank. This is true in my grocery store. Now, at my bank, they do not allow their employees to wear Nebraska-themed clothing from home. My bank actually provides a special uniform to employees that they can wear during the Nebraska football game. Oh, my painter guy is here. He's working on the door. Okay, cool. Now, at my bank, normally the uniform is like a green polo-type shirt that's embroidered with the bank's logo. Well, on game day, that becomes a red shirt that is embroidered with the bank's logo, along with the white Nebraska N. It's so funny. I've often wondered if other states with big college programs do this, like Michigan or Ohio. You know, these are other states that have big, rabid fan bases for their college football teams. And I'm wondering if it's the same there, where businesses are allow their employees to wear, you know, supporter gear during the game. I think that's hilarious. I wonder if that goes on anywhere else, like in England. I should find out. I need to find some English people who are the football heads and ask them. I don't know. But what am I going to do today? Well, other than eating tacos in an hour and a half, I might watch some more YouTube. I stumbled across this Irish girl. What is her name? Diane Jennings. And this Irish girl, she's kind of young. She's probably like 20 or 21 years old. And I love listening to her talk because all Americans love to listen to Irish people talk. And she's really funny. And she and her friend, somebody, basically, she just talks about, you know, how Ireland and America are different and stuff like that. Nothing too special. But I was watching one episode that cracked me up where some guy in the States sent her a big box of Little Debbie snack cakes. Now, if you don't have Little Debbie where you live, this is just a brand of... Hello! Hold on a second. My painter just stuck his head in the door to tell me he was painting the door. Pip got all excited. Oh, the door's open. Yeah, so that's Hector. So anyway, yeah. American guys sent over a bunch of American snack cakes to an Irish girl, Diane Jennings, and she and her friend tried them all, like oatmeal cream pies and the honey buns. And it was just funny. It was just cracking me up because they were like, oh, this is good. Or, oh, I don't like this one. It was just funny. Anyway, I got to wrap this up. My name is Tobe. You have been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC right here on Anon Radio. I got to bail, so bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.